God, are any of these movies good?
Worst episode ever.
I see a lot of films. I love all of them.
Your job is to rate movies on a scale from good to excellent.
Hated it.
So, Movie Friday, Rafer Guzman and Kristen Meinzer joins us. Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday. Kristen, culture producer for The Takeaway. Both of them, of course, co-hosts of the Movie Date podcast. Welcome, guys.
Hi, John. Hi, John.
So let's begin with the Alexander Payne movie that's out this week, about Schmidt, Sideways, all about wine, The Descendants, his new movie, Nebraska, a father-son trip to rural Nebraska. Bruce Dern is in the cast. Here's a clip.
How did you and Mom end up getting married?
She wanted to.
You didn't?
I figured what the hell.
Were you ever sorry you married her?
All the time. Could have been worse.
Well, you must have been in love, at least at first.
Never came up.
Kind of a road movie, Thelma and Louise for old guys. Kristen, what'd you think?
Well, I wouldn't call it Thelma and Louise. It's a lot slower. There's a lot less action. There are lots of, this movie's in black and white, and there are lots of great, expansive cinematic shots of fields, of rundown barns, of parts of America that aren't quite the glorious places they once were. And in this movie, we have Bruce Dern, who's playing the father, who he's not quite with it anymore. He's older. He's chasing down a dream to win $1 million through something equivalent to the Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes. His son, played by Will Forte, decides to accompany him on this trip. And along the way, they stop down in the town, the fictional town called Hawthorne, Nebraska, where Bruce Dern's character grew up, and meet a lot of old characters along the way and hopefully find out a little bit about each other and themselves. And I would say it's beautiful to look at. It's like a lot of Payne movies. It has some sly humor in it. But I found it at times just a little bit too misanthropic and sad for me. So I wouldn't say it was the greatest film of the year. I enjoyed it fine, but it did, you know, touch some not happy nerves for me.
Well, sadness is what Alexander Payne is often all about in the midst of comedy. About Schmidt had great characters. Rafer, how does Payne do with the characters here?
I think he does really well, particularly, of course, with Bruce Dern, who turns in this fantastic performance. Bruce Dern's 77 years old, and, you know, he's a hot ticket again all of a sudden. You know, he won the Best Actor Award at Cannes. He was just at the Hampton Film Festival speaking. I think he's a total Oscar contender this year. BAM here in Brooklyn is having a retrospective of all his films, and I think he's all of a sudden he's back on top of his game at 77, and he totally deserves it. It's a great performance.
All right, next offering, Best Man Holiday. Let's listen to a clip.
Brian's my boyfriend.
Oh!
Yeah.
Oh, this Brian. Okay, because I thought you meant the one. No, right, Brian. Brian McDougal.
McDonald.
McDonald, yeah. So it's good that finally meet you, Brian. She will not stop. She won't stop talking about you.
Sounds romantic, Kristen, but I can't make head nor tails of it. What's going on in Best Man Holiday?
Well, this is a sequel 14 years later to a movie called The Best Man. And in this movie, it follows the same group of people, a group of very well-to-do African-American college friends. Now they're in their early 40s. They have kids. They are dealing with literal life and death issues, as well as issues with their careers, with their lives, with their insecurities. And they get together over the holidays, and it's kind of like a dysfunctional family holiday movie where you get together around the table, you have fights, secrets come out, one of you is secretly sick, one of you secretly lost your job, and one of you is, you know, secretly dating somebody of a different race. And that clip we just heard is, oh gosh, you have a vanilla latte boyfriend. There are jokes along those lines. And so, you know, a lot of the movie's predictable. A lot of it's what you would expect. If you like these kinds of dysfunctional family holiday movies, you're probably going to love this movie. If you find them corny and schlocky, you're going to find this really, really corny and schlocky.
And you thought it was trivial, or you're on the fence there?
I thought the acting was terrific, but it just did not have enough of originality to it to really keep me interested.
Kristen, what's on the podcast this week?
So this week we're helping one of our Canadian listeners with our new feature called Movie Therapy with how to deal with the long, cold winter ahead. And we're going to prescribe some movies to her to help her deal with the cold times ahead.
Rafer, I'm interested in what your favorite movie reference to the Kennedy assassination is down over the last 50 years or so. Not that you're 50 or anything, but
no.
Exclude Oliver Stone, okay? What's your favorite reference?
Oh, excluding Oliver Stone. Well, that's a tough one because that really is my favorite. But in recent memory,
really?
I think a good one would maybe be Parkland. That hasn't gotten a lot of traction. That's the one with Billy Bob Thornton, Zac Efron, Paul Giamatti. It's all told. It's the assassination as told from observers, secondary characters in the town of Dallas. And I thought it was really good. It was one of the few JFK movies I've seen that told me a few details I didn't know. And I liked that movie.
And we're going to talk a little more about it in just a moment. Kristen, for you, JFK reference that you love, assassination reference?
I know you're going to say I can't choose Oliver Stone, but I have to choose Oliver Stone because JFK is so good. Who doesn't love a good conspiracy theory? It's as American as apple pie, and it's so fun to watch. Every star you've ever loved is in that movie. And the complex puzzles they play out, the secrets, the lies, all of it, it's just such an enjoyable ride. I'm totally behind JFK.
It's coming back to theaters this month as well.
Yeah, I know. It's all lies. Kristen, you're so down market. Both of you guys, down market. Rafer Guzman and Kristen Meinzer. Have a great weekend, guys.
Thanks,
you too, John.
You too.
Our film critics and the co-hosts of the Movie Date podcast. You're continuing this discussion. We're in Dallas in the run-up for the 50th anniversary of the president's death in this city. A lot of discussions of what the impact on Dallas was. Ken Hudson led us this message from Midlothian, Texas. Bobby Kennedy was killed in Los Angeles. Doesn't that qualify the city as a city of hate as well? Chicago has many times the number of homicides by guns than does Dallas. Our guns and our legal right to own and possess firearms in the Lone Star State makes us safer. 50 years after that fateful day, Rick concludes, I believe the state of Texas has to take some responsibility for the loss of President Kennedy. What do you think? Give us your call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or go to thetakeaway.org.
Support for The Takeaway comes from Lumosity. Lumosity.com's daily workouts are designed to improve memory and attention. Dedicated to helping people feel sharper, think faster, and remember more. It's all at Lumosity.com.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.